Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And as you know, from time to time, we try to bring you programming that helps you in a variety of ways. Like we just told you this morning how to save your retirement from the clutches of the banks that are failing. We've also done things on mental health. We've talked about shorting your goals because many of us are programmed by a concept called learned helplessness, and we've talked to you about how to overcome that. And so we hit a variety of things to try to be of service to you. We're not just trying to bring you the news with some solutions. We want to bring you some solutions to your life and some of the problems that confront us. And a lot of us, as we get into middle age and beyond, we're confronted by health issues. And the health issues are very serious. For example, something we're going to talk about today with our guest, Ann Lyons, is diabetes. It's out of control. The rates are skyrocketing. And we're going to talk about some things you can do. Some of them are free, some of them cost a little bit, but none of it's cost prohibitive. And just warning you right now that if you don't want to improve how you look and how you feel, this may not be your broadcast. But if you're looking, say, I need to get more out of myself, I want to be younger, I want to function at a younger level, I want to look younger, this might very well be what you're looking for. So our guest is Dan Lyons, and he's been a guest before on the show. And we've talked about various health issues, and we've talked about exercise regimens that work. And we're back here at it again to talk about, well, a lot of it we're going to talk about today is diabetes, metabolic disorder. So Dan, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's great to be here. I always love our time together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically where I'm at is just kind of recognizing the depth of first of all the corruption in this country, but also how that's led to us becoming unhealthy from the foods that we're eating, from the lifestyles that we're choosing. And it is our fault. We're all grown-ups, but unfortunately this whole monster is being influenced by entities, trying to be
Yeah.
aware of what we say here on YouTube, but
Well, let me say it this way. Okay. There are shortcuts taken that endanger our food supply, and it's not for the better. How's that? And a lot of it's economically based. And that people cut corners to save money. And we see this all.
exactly. Yeah, so I won't get into it too much, but there was a Senate bill in Texas, SB 379, and that was on March 11th. And that basically was going to be taking junk food out of the SNAP program. It was going to be taking junk food out of school lunches for kids. And this would have been a good thing. But there are certain organizations, and people can research Senate Bill 379 in Texas and find out what I'm talking about here. Certain organizations showed up in opposition to this bill, and the depth of the corruption is these organizations are pretty much, a lot of their forum members are other entities that are in the food industry. Again, trying to ch choose my words wisely here, but the
Yeah.
corruption is insane, Dave, and I want people to
Now,
really understand that.
what ends up happening, and we can say this, when you retire from a business entity, oftentimes you go to work for the regulatory agency. And if you retire from the regulatory agency, you go to work for the business. And this really needs to be stopped. Trump's people have talked about a 5-year moratorium. Even Biden's people brought this up. I heard some Democrats discussing this on the Hill about 3 years ago, and they just said, you shouldn't be able to do that because it leads to conflicts of interest and we pay the price. And then it takes someone like RFK Jr. to come along and people like you to try to set us on the right path. But we're not about cutting corners here. I agree. But these problems, even under an existing regime of, let's say, maybe less than ethical behavior, there's problems are still addressable and fixable. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I agree with what you said about the revolving door. I mean, RFK Jr. was probably the first one to put it that way, to me, the revolving door, but it really is true. And it speaks to the depth of the corruption, and everything's about money. And it's at our expense because, like you said, Dave, and I think everyone kind of knows this intuitively, but maybe not consciously. We have a massive health crisis in this country, and a lot of it is caused by insulin resistance. So I want to kind of go into what insulin resistance is, how it leads to diabetes, and kind of explain to people some of the things that you can do to get yourself out of this, because this is
Okay.
probably the number one cause of weight gain, all unintended weight gain, I would say, in this country, and diseases that are stemming from in the inflammatory response, such as heart attacks, strokes, and all sorts of other diseases too. So cardiovascular disease and cancers. So basically what happens is what insulin is. I want to explain this because I don't really think, I mean,
Yeah, let me
people have
say
heard
this
of
before
insulin
you,
and
Dan, let me say this before you jump into this.
sure.
I battled diabetes for a while, not real long, but for a while, and I beat it. I went from an A1C of about 8 to 5.2. And
Nice.
so yeah, and my doctor was amazed. He and I got a great doctor. I heard him out in the hall bragging about what I did because I told him, he says, "Dave, this is amazing. I don't take any medication. I'm medication free now." And I'm interested to see what you have to say and how my approach blended with this. So this is
Yeah.
personally fascinating to me. And diabetes is skyrocketing in America. This is really serious. And let me just throw in a couple of facts. You live right now in a nation of the first world nations. You have the lowest lifespan in the world. We are 1 year below Cuba. God bless the Cubans, but we are 1 year below Cuba. We spend 10 times more on healthcare than the next 10 nations combined, and we're the least healthy. That's a problem. And so people like Dan are trying to fix this problem, each with their own niche. And so, Dan, let's get into the diabetes problem.
Sure. Yeah, and then after, I'd love to know what you did, Dave, because that's an incredible story, getting yourself out of that situation. It's really great. Congrats on that.
I'm stubborn.
So, yeah, well, sometimes it takes a stubborn person to say, you know what, I'm not gonna put up with this anymore. I'm gonna stand up and do something about it. So, the whole talk of insulin resistance, blood sugar dysregulation, type 2 diabetes. It's kind of all in the same direction. So type 2 diabetes is the end result. That's the worst case scenario. But pre-diabetic, insulin resistant, blood sugar dysregulation, it's all in that direction. And basically what it means is, I'll kind of explain it to people from scratch here. So when you eat food, there's only three things that contain calories. And those are macronutrients known as protein, carbohydrate, and fat. Those, as widely diverse as food choices can be, it all really breaks down to protein, carbohydrate, and fat. And those are the three macronutrients that contain energy, and that's it. So when you consume protein, carbohydrate, fat, your body goes through different metabolic processes to basically break down protein or carbs or fat into whatever. It could be building it into muscle tissue, it could be using it for energy. But insulin is associated with carbohydrate metabolism. So if you look at the grocery store, everything is carbohydrate based. You have chips, you have bagels, breads, cereals, granola bars, you have sodas, but also things like you wouldn't expect, like protein bars are really, really high in carbohydrate, things that you would think that would be healthy, even fruits, vegetables. And I'm not saying that fruits and vegetables are bad, but what I'm saying is everything is carbohydrate based these days. And getting back to what I was saying about insulin, when you consume carbohydrate, in order for you to break down that carbohydrate, you have to run a metabolic pathway to break that down into glucose. And then you have blood sugar in your bloodstream. And your body only wants, on average, 4 grams of sugar in your bloodstream at all times. Now, to put it in perspective, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of glucose is one packet of sugar. That's a very small amount. Okay, but when we consume a bagel, for example, that contains roughly 50 grams of glucose. And so if you think about it, your body only wants about 4 grams on average in your bloodstream. You're consuming a bagel that has 50. What are you going to do with that remaining 46 grams of carbohydrate that's been converted to glucose? Well, that's where insulin comes in. So your pancreas makes insulin. The insulin basically removes the excess blood glucose out of your bloodstream and puts it somewhere. Because if it just stayed in your bloodstream, you would actually end up dying eventually. It would be so inflammatory. Your body only wants a narrow bandwidth of blood glucose at all times. So
Yep.
insulin is released in response to what you're consuming for food. So in this case, carbohydrate is the number one thing that causes insulin to rise. Now, the excess blood glucose that's in your bloodstream has to go somewhere. Some of it will go into muscle tissue and be stored as, glycogen, which is the storage form of glucose. Everything else will be pushed into body fat. So this is why insulin is your weight gain hormone. This is the number one protein that
Yep.
causes people to gain weight, to gain body fat. And it actually blocks fat loss at the same time.
How does
So it
it do that?
opposes
I've not
growth
heard that.
hormone.
I've not
Would you
heard
say,
that
Dave?
before.
Sorry.
How does that block weight loss?
Yeah, so insulin works like, think of it like a seesaw. Insulin and growth hormone work in opposition of each other. So growth hormone is your number one fat loss hormone. It basically breaks down stored fat into free fatty acids that you can burn, right? The opposite would be insulin. Insulin is your fat storage hormone. So they both can't exist at the same time. So what happens is by elevating your insulin, you actually ad additionally block growth hormone from being released. So you can't lose body fat now. So it does that, plus insulin itself is a fat storage hormone. So you get a two-sided, whack of weight gain specifically into fat stores. So that's how insulin works. Now, I always use this analogy with your pancreas releases insulin in response to carbohydrate, and then it has to go somewhere. The insulin basically carries the blood glucose into your cells to be used for energy. But think about it like a pitcher in the game of baseball. You have a pitcher, you have a catcher, and you have the ball. In a correct functioning situation in your body, the pitcher pitches the ball to the catcher catches the ball. So the pitcher is your pancreas, the ball is insulin, and the catcher is the receptors for insulin. Now, what happens when the pitcher starts pitching like 10 balls at a time, 20 balls at a time, 100 balls at a time? Well, pretty soon the catcher is going to say, I'm not catching these balls anymore. So that's what happens with insulin resistance. That's what happens with prediabetes, diabetes, is you have insulin receptor downregulation. So pretty soon the receptors say, I'm not catching this insulin anymore. I'm shutting down. So that's kind of the analogy that I always explain to people. That's how it works. And then the more insulin receptors get shut down, the more insulin you need to release in order to do the same amount of work. So that is the definition of being insulin resistant, because your cells become resistant to insulin. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And what I'm wondering is about, we always hear about calorie deficit to lose weight. You got to take in less calories than you expend. But it seems to me what you're saying is that may be less important than what you eat because of the process you just described with the relationship between the pitcher and the catcher.
Exactly. So that whole calories in versus calories out thing is a little bit true somewhat, but largely it's not true at all. Because if you ate a diet of strictly carbohydrate and you were in a calorie deficit, you're going to be basically losing weight, but you're not going to be losing weight at the same rate that you would if you were eating more protein, more fat, but overall less calories. So it really depends on, if you have a calorie deficit, where are the calories coming from that you're losing? Like, what are you not eating? So that's really why it's important what you eat, not exactly how much you eat. And that whole like calories in versus calories out thing was in my mind a little bit of a diversion, a little bit of a psychological operation for certain industries to make money off of
Weight loss or products, right?
weight loss and low calorie foods. Because low calorie foods, you could eat a little package of crackers that says on it only 79 calories or only 80 calories or whatever their marketing tactics are. But in reality, those calories, even though it's a small amount of calories, it's all coming from carbohydrate. And carbohydrate spikes your insulin. and puts you into a fat storage mode. So it's also perpetuating the abuse to your insulin receptors. So basically, what happens is if you abuse your insulin receptors by having just a carbohydrate-based diet, then your receptors shut down, they downregulate, you become insulin resistant. Well, what happens in that process? Basically, your body starts pumping out more insulin, like I said, and the more insulin you're releasing, the more inflamed you are. So when inflammation goes up, disease goes up. And in regard to weight gain, the more insulin you have circulating in your body, the more weight you're going to gain. So the whole process of type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, prediabetes, blood sugar dysregulation can be reversed. It can be reversed without drugs. You don't need insulin to do that. You only need insulin if you're a type 1 diabetic. So type 1 diabetes is more of an autoimmune issue, so it doesn't apply to that. But even if you don't have insulin resistance, you don't have diabetes, you don't have any blood sugar dysregulation at all, let's just say you want to lose a few pounds. You have to get insulin lower. If you have trouble losing weight and you need to, take 5 pounds, 10 pounds, however the amount of weight, the key is to get insulin down and get your receptors working again.
Yeah.
So, am
You
I
made that
making
very
sense?
clear. That's really clear. What I'm wondering is, and I'm processing foods in my mind right now, like insulin enemies, okay? Pizza, spaghetti, your pastas, a lot of them. But let's talk specifics for a second. If you want to, there's two ways to attack this, I think. The exercise side and the diet side. Right now we're focused on the diet side. What should we do more of food-wise, and what should we do less of?
Yes. Good question, Dave. So before I say that, I want to say that the goal with anything that I'm about to say with these diet changes are to upregulate insulin receptors. So we talked about how they downregulate. We need to eat foods that cause the opposite, which is upregulation, which is when your insulin receptors become more sensitive. That's when you're going to start seeing the results, because then you need less insulin to do the same amount of work. And the less insulin you have in your body, the better. Because, like I said, insulin is I mean, insulin is a natural thing, or else we wouldn't have insulin, right? It's not like insulin is the enemy, but insulin has been hijacked by certain entities in the food industry to basically, sabotage us in our quest for health and our quest for maintaining a healthy body weight. Now, to answer your question, Dave, the clear thing that you can do, the crystal clear thing, is stop eating junk food. So, there's a lot of comfort food when you're stressed out. You're going to go for cookies. You're going to go for ice cream. You're going to go for those quick forms of energy that give you an endorphin rush, because that's one of the things that soaring blood glucose does, is it makes us relax a little bit. It makes us calm down. It gets our dopamine flowing, our serotonin. And that's why that these foods are addictive, because especially if you're not healthy metabolically and you're not healthy in your brain and you're down, you're not doing well, these foods are going to be a form of pleasure for you, for
Okay.
lack of a better word.
So
So
we're
the
talking
first thing you can
cookies,
do,
cake, but okay, that those are like desserts. We can avoid the desserts pretty easily by labeling them that way, and we've identified it with desserts. But what about just basic meals? What people consume as a meal, not as a snack, what should they be avoiding?
So avoid most breads. So white bread is out. Don't go for bleached refined bread, bleached refined rice. Rice is good, but not refined rice. You don't want to have bleached polished white rice with no nutrients at all. You also don't want to eat certain vegetables year round. I mean, there's a I know I'm going to probably shock a lot of people by saying this. I'm not anti-vegetable, but vegetables have a growing season, right? Because God intended us to eat them during the growing season, and we can do canning and extend the growing season a little bit. But in reality, if we were meant to consume fruits and vegetables all year round, they would somehow be able to grow. God would have found a way to have them grow year round. So
Okay.
in reality, fruits and vegetables, they're great. They contain vitamins, they contain minerals, they contain phytochemicals, but they also contain a lot of what's called disaccharides, which are very closely related directly to blood glucose. So they're going to spike our insulin. So fruits and vegetables, fruits more, but certain vegetables are going to spike our insulin and put weight on us.
Can you give us some
So
examples?
yeah, so like potatoes, even sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are really, really good for us, but we don't want to eat them at certain times of the day because they're going to spike our insulin. They're going to put weight on us. Like, we don't want to eat sweet potatoes at night. We would be much better off if we ate sweet potatoes earlier in the day because we would have that spike in insulin earlier in the day. We would be able to get the insulin lower by the time we go to sleep. We wouldn't want to eat it at night. So okay, we have certain vegetables, we have pretty much most fruits. You would not want to consume tons of fruits. I think the recommendation was like 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. We shouldn't be doing that. All right. We like that is a recipe. I'm gonna sound shocking to people here, but eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day is a recipe for putting weight on us. Especially if they're genetically modified, if they're coming from who knows where, they're sprayed with pesticides. They're not how nature intended them to be. You're much better off just eating fruits and vegetables while they're in season, and that's it. Exactly how God intended. Okay, I
Okay,
don't think
so
God
we're
made a mistake
talking
when he
tomatoes and oranges, right, is part of that. You don't want to have too much of those, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dave. Like, I live up in Maine, right? And you have to think about where you grew up, where your ancestors came from, and whatever was in your local area, you have the digestive enzymes and the digestive metabolic capability of maximizing all the nutrients in that food. Like, I'm in Maine, and my parents lived in Mass, and basically my ancestors were like right around this area. It's not going to be a good idea if I just binge on kiwis, right? Because I, even though it's a fruit, it's from a
Interesting.
different part of the world. We have to rely on, supply chains to get there. And some of these foods, we just don't have the digestive capacity to metabolize and get the most of, especially with
Got it.
today's society of getting anything you want. Get Indian food one day, get Mexican food another day. It's fun, right? I don't want to sound like I'm trying to take the fun out of it, but some of these ingredients in foods and certain foods that come from different parts of the world, if we're not used to digesting those and metabolizing them, we might run into some issues. Like, the clear example is when you go to another country and drink their water, you might get sick because they are used to being able to deal with whatever in their water. We are not. And that's an extreme example, but
No, I got it. It makes sense.
yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Pima Indians?
No.
Okay. And going back to the Anasazi, and they built these series of canals in Arizona. They were brilliant people. And they basically consumed low calories. They lived off the land. I mean, whatever you could grow right there is what they ate. But they were low calorie and they were thin-based people. You put them in a modern environment today, and they become obese and diabetic.
Yeah.
And there's been some medical research I've read about this, and what they have to do is return them to their prior state of eating and what they consumed if you want to correct these conditions. The medication won't do it.
Oh,
And
I believe it.
Pima Indians out of, and it's basically Arizona on into Mexico. It's a lot of these people just don't get treated. And the treatment is change your diet. And you can see some amazing reversals. I read about this when I was in grad school, my first grad program about 1989, 1990, in that time
Yep.
frame. And they were writing about it too because it also had mental health implications. If they ate the modern diet, it seemed to supplement their dopamine response. So then you're setting up pathways to depression. And
That's a
that's
really interesting
and I
point.
was studying, I was studying the field of psychology then, and that's why this came up. And so what you're saying there is really true, that we are kind of bound by our generation, by our geographical background. We absolutely, I mean, we are.
Exactly.
Very, very interesting that you say it that way.
Yeah, another way to say it is just eat local. There's nothing bad from eating local. I mean, Everything from what we just talked about all the way to you want to know what's in your food, and you don't want to have to rely on other things, other entities to get your food to you. Like, you want to be able to trust what's in your food, how it was grown. If you can grow your own food, great. If you can't, go to your local farmers market. They even have farmers markets in the city. So there's
Sure.
not really, like, people think that eating local is difficult. This day and age, it's actually not that difficult at all. And it's not really that much more expensive than going to the grocery store. In some cases, it's the same price or even less. So I want to continue and give people some more tips of what you can eat because I talked about the carbohydrate. We didn't talk about anything else.
Okay, let's
So
go there.
those examples I gave for like rice, vegetables, fruits, that little tangent I went on, that was carbohydrate. Well, we also talked about there's other macronutrients too. There's fat and protein. And it's really, really, really important to have more protein and more fat in your diet. Now, there's a war on fat. We know that. It's been going on for almost a century right now. Fat's going to give us heart disease. It's going to, our cholesterol is going to go out of control. We're going to have a stroke. We're going to have all these issues. Red meat is going to cause cancer. It's a war on natural foods that contain fat and protein. Now, fat is actually really, really beneficial for us. So there's a lot of different reasons why fat is beneficial. First of all, fat, like you, there's fat soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, that if you consume those vitamins, you need to consume them with fat. They're fat soluble. If you don't have fat, they go right through you. So you need fat in your diet for that. All of your cellular membranes are built from fat. You need to consume fat, right? You also need cholesterol. Cholesterol is very, very important. And if you don't provide your body with cholesterol, your liver will make about 1.5 grams of cholesterol per day. And that's if you don't consume cholesterol. So that just kind of tells you how important cholesterol is to us. So one of the number one things that make up red blood cells is cholesterol, specifically LDL, the bad cholesterol. All right. And if we remove cholesterol out of the diet, it makes a lot of work for our liver. And these days, we don't want to overwork the liver. We want to take stress off the liver. And you can't really overeat fat. All right. You'd think that eating fat will make you fat, but it actually doesn't work that way at all. In most cases, you are what you eat, right? But not in regard to fat, because when you consume dietary fat, your liver basically makes bile, and the bile stored in your gallbladder. The gallbladder squirts out this bile to emulsify the dietary fat that you just ate and help it digest. And you only make a certain amount of bile per day. It's basically all dependent on how much dietary fat your body wants per day. So what I'm trying to say, Dave, is if you eat fat, the only way to metabolize it and get anything out of it is from bile that your body makes. And once the bile's gone, you're not gonna use any more fat. It's gonna go right through you. So you can't overeat fat. Even though fat has calories, you can't literally can't digest it and metabolize it because you don't have the bile output to do so. So
Let
the
me ask
other
you a specific question, okay? Because this is what, if I don't ask this, my audience is going to ask me later. When we talk about consuming fat, are there better fats than others to consume, and what would those be?
Better fats would be anything saturated. So again, I'm going against the grain here of what,
Oh, you've got modern research on your side. I've read about this, that this non-cholesterol diet is actually bad for you. There's research out about that. Even the AMA, I put something out about this. But in terms of real food that you would eat, what kinds of foods would you want to eat to get the fat that you need in your diet?
So red meat is a great one. Don't stay away from red meat. There's a whole war on red meat right now. You won't eat red meat by 2030. You know all of that garbage
Yeah,
that we're that we're
I know.
we won't go into that. But yeah, red meat is one of the greatest things that you can eat that has stable, saturated fats that won't oxidize. You can use them as fuel. You can use them as cellular fuel. So there's other
Also
fats
get
that you want to stay
protein
away from.
if you're eating steak, you could also get protein out of that too.
So that's the thing that I was going to get into after is
Okay.
protein. So with a steak, with red meat, with dark meat chicken, I mean, everyone thinks that dark meat chicken is bad, but it's actually the opposite, right? So any form of dark meat chicken or beef or fish that's like fatty, like for example, salmon, that's going to have the appropriate amount of really good healthy fats that your body can use for fuel and not oxidize. So we don't want to consume fats that oxidize. And those things would be polyunsaturated fats, like vegetable oils and things that we've seen RFK Jr. talk about lately. So we won't get too much into that for YouTube's sake, but eggs are a great source of protein and fat as well. Don't be afraid of the cholesterol. Okay, like I said, we need cholesterol. There's a war on eggs going on right now.
Yeah.
Eggs cause heart attacks, eggs cause cancer. No, they don't.
Well, I got
No,
to tell
they
you,
don't.
I went and researched this because I have eggs 4 or 5 times a week. And I went
Yep.
and researched this. The data behind that statement is, let's say, weak at best. Okay. And I'm a trained researcher. I taught it at the university level. I used to teach graduate students how to do their dissertations. So I know what I'm looking at when I look at research. And when you can't show me randomization of control groups and experimental groups, you don't have a research study.
Yeah.
I found a lot of that when I did that work on, I think these are unfounded conclusions. And they might be well-intentioned people just trying to help the public, but hire someone who knows how to do research and stat to guide you, because some of the stuff I see is crap. I agree with you. Okay, so I'm sorry to take you off your track there, but I wanted to
It's okay.
validate what you were saying. I totally. And I'm telling you, the science supports what you're saying from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's kind of an unspoken war on protein going on too right now. So protein is ex it's extremely
Really?
important for rebuilding your entire body. I mean, when you consume protein, protein breaks down into what's called amino acids in your body, and then your body takes those amino acids and rebuilds them back into proteins that you need. I'm not talking about just muscle protein. I'm talking about proteins in general, like DNA, okay, cell membranes, collagen, connective tissue, your hair, your skin, your nails, regenerating your retinas and your eye. Just everything is based off of proteins and rebuilding. When you don't consume protein from animal sources, that's what I'm going to get into, is what are the good protein sources. If you don't consume complete proteins, you're not going to be able to rebuild your tissue. So when I was saying there's a little bit of a war going on protein that's kind of under the surface and unspoken, it's all this plant-based stuff. So you talk about plant-based protein. Oh, you're not going to get a protein deficiency if you have plant protein. Well, yes, you are, because plant protein is incomplete. So a lot of people will say, well, I know it's incomplete, but I take lentils and I put them together with nuts and seeds, like whatever. I put them together with this certain vegetable and I basically combine the two and then I get all my essential amino acids. Well, my argument to that is you're entirely reliant on supply chains if you do that, because how are you going to get these wildly diverse, different foods that are located geographically in two different places together in one meal? The only way that you're going to be able to do that is from going to the grocery store, right? And we're trying to be more self-sufficient these days. So people overcomplicate it. The best thing to do is just shop local, get some local beef, get all of your amino acids, get your good quality fat, get some vegetables while they're in season. It's okay to have rice, but don't have polished, bleached rice with no nutrients. And that's what it's all about, Dave. It's reversing all of the inflammatory issues like obesity and diabetes and cancers and all of these different diseases of the West by getting your insulin under control. And how do you do that? Well, we just have to go against the grain and not follow what the advertising is telling us to do, the grocery stores. We need to go the opposite direction. That's all it is to it.
Well, in fairness to the grocery stores, they're not in the business of making us healthy. They're in the business of making money. And
Right.
this is what they try to promote, is what's going to bring them the biggest bang for the buck. And then they sweeten things with the preservatives and stuff like that to make it more appealing. And I hear what you're saying. And we're kind of into what a lot of nutritionists are saying. With regard to vegetarian diets, I've seen a cycle effect. In the 70s, it was kind of the rage. It came back in the 90s, and again, we're seeing it again. It's a cycle. People go through cycles. I had a doctor once. We talked about my diet, and he said, I said, so you're recommending I go on vegetarian like you? He says, Dave, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat meat twice a week. And he said, I eat red meat twice a week because I need the protein. He goes, I have to get protein this way. Otherwise, I'll be protein deficient. And he started talking about how bones become more brittle and they can break and things like this. So he said a combination approach was the best, he thought. So, and you're kind of saying the same thing coming from a different perspective.
I am. I am not like a strictly carnivore guy. I'm certainly not a plant-based guy. I'm in the direction of carnivore, but I'm not 100%. I think that fruits and vegetables have their purpose. But here's the other thing I wanted to touch on, Dave, is vegetables have oxalates and other basically defense mechanisms that will build up in our bodies, specifically in our joints, and give us all sorts of symptoms of arthritis when we don't even have arthritis and other inflammatory symptoms. And that's on purpose, right? Because we're not supposed to eat vegetables year round. I know I said this already, but if you're a vegetarian,
I
you're
hear
going to eat
you.
vegetables year round, right? If you're plant-based, you're going to eat plants year round. And we're not supposed to eat these things year round because we're going to build up oxalates in our bodies,
Once,
and
oh.
oxalates are not meant to be consumed year round, right?
Kind of like an
So
old.
that's just kind of
Yeah.
another little thing to think about if you're thinking about getting all of your nutrition from vegetables year round. It doesn't work like that.
Let's go to that one concept. So, are you saying that we should be eating what's growing in season? And not, instead of storing it in the freezer and breaking it out for, whatever desperate time we
So,
might have.
Dave, I'm not going to give you a 100% clear answer on that because I do believe that canning is a way that, in a healthy way, can extend the growing season a little bit. But no, I don't think that like a freezer isn't found in nature, right? It's a modern
No, you're right.
invention. And I don't think that we should be consuming fruits and vegetables every single month throughout the year. I think that whatever is in season where you are locally, you should eat, right? And if you're someone that moved, let's say your ancestors were from a different part of the world and you moved here or whatever, then you're going to have a little bit tougher time because your body is, kind of geared towards you eating certain foods in certain growing seasons. And now you're on the opposite spectrum. You're on the other side of the world. So I don't really have an answer for that.
Okay,
I mean,
that's honest. I appreciate that. Hey, I got to
but
backtrack to one thing before we go continue.
sure.
You talked about bread, and I meant to ask you this. Is there any kind of bread that you can eat with a minimal amount of damage to your system?
Sourdough bread, it's the best.
Sourdough? What
So
about wheat?
sourdough bread is filled with vitamin K2. And basically, vitamin K2 helps prevent heart disease because it basically takes calcium out of your bloodstream and pushes it into your bone. And if you don't have vitamin K2 as a transporter, then just long story short, I'm dumbing it down here, the calcium will stay in your arteries and you'll eventually ossify your arteries, meaning you'll calcify your arteries. You don't want that.
Yeah, I
That's
get
going to be the
that.
definition of all sorts of, cardiac issues. So vitamin K2 is found in sourdough bread. So I mean, if you can grow your own sourdough bread, that's the best possible carbohydrate that you can eat.
Okay, interesting. What about wheat?
I don't have anything against wheat. I have something against the glyphosate that they use to in the whole wheat process. I think that we've been eating wheat for many, 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 many years. I don't think wheat is the issue. I think that the powers that be said that wheat is the issue to make a multi-billion-dollar gluten-free industry.
Okay, I got it. If we don't shift over to exercise, we're never going to get there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I think we've given people a lot of basis to do their own research, but you've said a lot of things that are consistent with modern research that I've read. Let me talk about my journey and then you take it and do what you will with it. Okay, I had a blessing. I got RSV with a diagnosis of strep lung linings, and at my age, it ain't coming back, and you're going on oxygen, and you're not going to live real long, Dave. And I said, like hell. And my son became my training partner, and I started to work out. And I had some supplements that I think that really helped. But the bottom line is this is, and I was diabetic at the time. And what I found was the more I lifted, the better I did. And I favor resistance over cardio, although I'll do both. But I'll tell you, here's what I did do. Let's say I'm doing lat pull, just as an example, okay? So I might start at like 90 pounds and I'll do 15, but I'm going to failure. Then I go to 100, I do the same thing. Maybe I do 12 and I go to failure. I go to 120, I might do 8, but I go to failure. And what I've learned through my research, and I want to see if this matches what you said, I was actually intuitively doing the right thing. Going to failure builds muscle size, and that gives more room to store the bad stuff that gets converted in your muscles. And girls, don't worry, you're not going to get big like a man, but you will increase a little bit of volume. And you'll look better. But the bottom line is you get to store these harmful chemicals that get transformed in your body. And I told my doctor about this, and he goes, "Well, tell me what you do for cardio." And I said, "I actually prefer HIIT, high intensity interval training. I have a sled that I use up and down my driveway,
Nice.
and I go hard and hard and hard, and it's been I'm just exhausted. Or I'll get on a bike and I'll pedal for a minute regular, and then I'll go for a minute really hard, and then I'll pedal for two regular, and then go do a minute really hard. Another form of HIIT training, and I'll go for long walks at a decent pace. But I like the HIIT, and my doctor said that's why you don't have diabetes anymore because of your weight training and your interval training with your cardio. How does that match with what you say?
Yeah, so Dave, first of all, that's awesome. Congrats on that. Good work. And I
8.0,
am a
8.0 to
fan.
5.2, my friend.
Yeah,
That's what
that's awesome.
A1C.
That's awesome. You did it all yourself without your doctor. So yeah, I mean, high intensity interval training, HIIT, it's great. What I do is I generally work with middle-aged people and older. And just by nature, I have a lot of women that I work with. And I work with men too, but my average age range is like 40 to like 80. It's a big span, but that's kind of the group of people that I work with. I prefer to work with that population actually. And I don't have them do high intensity interval training right away because my school of thought, I've been a personal trainer for 20 years now, and I'm very big on having people not injure themselves. And I think that people need to really learn the techniques before you go right into a high intensity
And you
program.
got to build up to it. I agree. I built up to mine.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
yeah, yeah. I'm sure you did. Yeah, so I mean, it's all about exerting your muscles, putting a load on your muscles, adding resistance. Cardio is great, but cardio, that's a whole different topic that we could talk about sometime. It's the cardio effect that you get from weight training is very, very underrated.
I
You get a
know.
lot of cardio benefits from weight training, and you would think it would not be that way because you just think of the days of Arnold Schwarzenegger back in his prime, and like the last thing you picture in your mind is them having a cardio workout. Well, weight training in general, I'm not talking about what Arnold did because that involves steroids and all sorts of lifestyle changes that are not what I condone.
No,
But
me neither.
weight training in general is probably the best thing that you can do for your body. It's going to build your bones, it's going to build your blood, it's going to build your health in general. It's going to get your blood pressure down, it's going to get all it's basically going to ex it's going to be a daily and weekly expulsion of toxins from your body. So, you can do this at home with dumbbells. You don't need to go to a gym. You can do it at home. Get yourself a mat, get yourself some dumbbells, but you obviously need to know how to do it. And
No, you're
that's kind
right.
of what
When I travel and I'm in the hotel, and my son will come up and say, "Dad, it's not real good here. The weight room sucks. Do they have dumbbells?" Yeah. Okay. We're fine. We're fine.
Exactly.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
That's all you need, Dave. And
I agree.
that's actually what I do with people. I have a program. I have it's a 12-week body transformation program. And it's specifically designed to teach people how to exercise. It's online, first of all, and it's pre-recorded personal training sessions. It's pre-recorded, but you can still interact with me, ask questions, leave comments, feedback. And I pre-record them so people can do it on their own time because it's really difficult to like balance people's schedules these days. So I figured I would pre-record these sessions so people could kind of do them on their own time and there's no scheduling conflict whatsoever. So It's a 12-week program that comes with personal training sessions every single week. Each session is 30 minutes long. The first week, you get four sessions, like intro sessions, teaching you how to exercise. And then we kind of slowly ramp it up from there. So the four at the beginning plus the remaining 11 weeks of two sessions per week actually equals 26 30-minute sessions. And you get those 26 for, spread out throughout the whole 12 weeks. And then you also get all of my diet plans that are tried and true that I've worked with. I've actually worked with over 2,000 people with these diet plans. So you get everything. You get the diet plans, you get the 12-week program. Everything's interactive. You can, like I said, comment. You can lean on me for questions if you have questions. And it's a pretty affordable price, Dave.
No, I hear you, and I wanted to say this too. People, don't be scared off when we say weights. Oh, I couldn't do that. Could you do 5 pounds? Well, then you can start. And this is what I tell my friends when they kind of marvel at what I did, and I'm talking to people in my inner circle, and I said, well, you can do that too. Well, Dave, they saw me on leg press machine, they saw what I did, and they go, I could never do that. You don't have to. Start where you're at, and then progressively work. Do you in your program, do you go to failure once the program is underway?
I do, Dave. I do drop sets with people, and that's kind of like
Drop sets,
towards
okay, exactly.
the second half of the program. But that is, so basically I'm taking this as maybe a beginner or someone that might have some experience, but they're not, they're not constantly working out currently. So it starts off slow with light weights, whatever people can do, and we work on the technique and we build up to that point. So by the end of the 12 weeks, you're pretty much, you have a routine, you have your program, and you're set to continue. So yeah, I do want to reinforce what you said. Women should not be afraid because they don't have the hormonal output to put on muscle mass like a man. They just don't, right? It for you as a woman to put on muscle mass and look like a man, you would have to inject yourself with testosterone, which is an anabolic steroid. So then you can actually have the same anabolic output as a man, but you as a natural woman are not going to have that anabolic output to do that, to get big and bulky. So don't have any fear of that.
Listen, I when I was coaching college basketball, our volleyball coach was a bodybuilder, and she used to compete. And you'd look at her and think, that's an attractive female. Okay. And then you could see, if she wore a tank top, you could see, yeah, well, she's well defined, but she wasn't big. She was in proportion to her body. And that's one of the things that women have this misconception of. The other thing too is, do you ever work with people that are morbidly obese, and can this work for them too?
Absolutely. So every exercise that I give, if I have people getting down on the floor, I'm very conscious of like, hey, maybe some people might not be able to get down on the floor and back up.
Yeah, get
So
back
I'll
up.
have people maybe do a different form of the exercise against the wall, or maybe just sit that exercise out. I'm very big on, yeah, push yourself, but also know your limits, because by the end of the 12-week program, you're going to see results no matter what. And you don't have to just go 0 to 100 the first week. So it's whatever works for the individual.
I
But
like
yes, I.
what you're doing, and it's
Thanks,
better
Dave.
than what I did, and I was successful at what I did. I probably focus 70% exercise, and I mean, I was really dedicated. I would do push one day, pull the next, legs day off, and then go back and repeat it. And then I'd mix in 2 of the 3 days I worked out, I would do HIIT or cardio. And I was pretty dedicated, but the bottom line, and by the way, I could do it all in 45 minutes a day. I was done
Yeah,
under an hour.
I
And
believe it.
talking about your program's 30 minutes, as long as you're over 20 minutes, as the research tells me, you're pre as like really as long as you're over 12 minutes, the research says you're doing pretty good. 20 minutes is all,
Exactly.
and you're at 30, so I mean that's really a good time frame. But I didn't do as much with diet, and now I know I'm getting older, and I got to be more careful about how hard I push myself in the weight room. I go to failure, but I don't try to go beyond that. I'm really focusing more on the diet aspect of it. And this is, I think, the strength of your program. You're combining both approaches.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I tried to make it as user-friendly for people as possible and friendly for beginners. But also, if you're not a beginner, you're still going to get a lot out of it because I teach a lot of techniques that are I went to school for. I spent 7 years going to school for exercise physiology, and that's the techniques that I teach. You don't really learn in a gym setting. You have to learn them from someone that went to school for it. So I include all those techniques, basically teach people how to exercise correctly to see the maximum results while also minimizing the chance for injury. So
Yeah, well, I wanted
pretty
you to come on my show because I know you have a good program and I know it's user friendly and it caters from the morbidly obese to people who are in reasonable shape but just want to do better. So talk about your program, how they get involved, what's the cost, and I know you got some savings built in too. So tell us about that.
Yeah, definitely. So my website is danlyonsfitness.com. So my last name Lyons, it's spelled with a Y, like
Why? Okay.
yellow. So Danlyons fitness.com. So first of all, you'd go there, and then right at the very top and other places, you'll see 12-week body transformation. So that's the name of the program. So if you click on that 12-week body transformation, that is the program that you're looking for. And essentially, it was $165 for the 12-week program, but right now I have a limited time offer of $99. But if you are someone watching Dave's show right now, you get an additional 20% off of the $99. So it brings it down to like $79. So that's $165 value marked down after the code. You got to enter Dave's promo code. It's promo code Dave. It's going to be eventually costing you like $79.
For 3 months.
So what you do is
Yeah, for
you
3 months.
sign up for it and you have instant access to the four beginner sessions. So just check your email. They'll be delivered to you weekly. So like I said, each session is 30 minutes long. You get two sessions per week, but you get four the first week. And every single week I'll basically send you these sessions in your email. And if
Okay.
for some reason you don't see them in your email, just log onto your account, because when you purchase this program, you're going to have to make an account, like a username and password, and that's where you can find all of your sessions. And another thing, Dave, is you can always go back. So if, like, let's just say you really liked this body transformation program and you say, "You know what? I want to do it all over again." You can do it all over again. Like, this is your product, and if you're a client of mine, you're a client for life. So once we kind of get into like week two, week three, week four, all the way up to 12, all of those sessions, you can go back and do them as many times as you want, like after the 12 weeks. So you can really stretch out this program to say, you know what? I think for like 6 months, I'm going to continue doing these workouts. And it's no extra cost. This is your program. So once you buy it, it's yours.
I got it. That makes a lot of sense. Real quickly here, because we're out of time.
Sure.
If someone got stuck, is there any way that they could get advice and get unstuck?
Yeah, so basically, like I was saying, you'd have to kind of get into this program to see it, but it's interesting because every single personal training session that I send people, there's a comment section right down below, and you can comment, you can ask questions, you can say, "Hey, what do you think about, I have this lower back pain when I do this, what do you think?" And I get notified instantly when I see someone has commented, and it's me getting back to people. I don't have like
Okay, got it.
staff
Got it.
or a secretary that responds to people. It's literally only me. I'm kind of a one-man show. So
Okay, that makes a
if
lot of
people have
sense.
feedback, comments, questions, they just comment right there. I'm able to see exactly what they're talking about right there in that session. I don't have to go looking for it. I see it and I can respond to them, and then they'll get notified in their email that I responded. So
Okay.
it's a pretty cool setup, to be
Pretty cool.
honest.
Let's give your website address out again, and I'll put it in the description link when this goes on social media.
Yeah, so it's Dan Lyons Fitness. .com. And again, that's Lyons with a Y, like yellow.
Okay,
And again, look for that
danlyonsfitness.com.
12-week program.
Yeah, I got to tell you, folks, you really need to take your health in your hands. And what attracts me to Dan's program, it's the principles I use to turn my life around physically, too. And you've heard about my journey. And I would really recommend you do this. There's no time like today. The devil is the author of procrastination. Just keep that in mind. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Good stuff. Love having you on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Dave.